The greatest blessing of my life and the greatest single moment in my life was the day that I became a member of the Church of Christ. On that day, I entered a community of people that are the greatest people. People of whom Hebrews says the world is not worthy. People that I will be with forever in heaven. It's people that I've read about in the Bible. It's people that I've known that have passed on. It's people that I know now. And it's people that I have yet to meet. All those wonderful people gathered together in what the Bible refers to as the Church of Christ. I want to talk this morning about why I am a member of the Church of Christ. I'll just simply tell you what I did and why I became a member of the Church of Christ. And I believe it will be a lesson that will be helpful to you. I believe it's a lesson that will help you to understand even more about what the Church of Christ is. And if you have any questions, I certainly would be glad to answer those questions. I just want to preach the truth in everything that I do. And if I say anything today that you do not believe is true, then I would welcome you to take your Bible and help me to see that from the pages of Scripture. So we talk about why I am a member of the Church of Christ. The first thing I want to say as I slide into my first point is that I did not shop around. It wasn't that I just kind of looked out through there and said, now, you know, there's all these churches out here, and what do I like? What do I really like? What really fits me? What fits my personality? And which of these will be the best for my children? I didn't really do that. Didn't do that at all on the day that I became a member of the Church of Christ. I didn't do as a lot of signs used to be posted as you would enter a town. Or maybe you would open that town's newspaper and it would say, attend the church of your choice. And listed down here would be a number of things. Here's a St. Rose Catholic Church, and here's a Glory of Light Assembly of God. New Life City Church, First Baptist Church, Grace Tabernacle, Victory Fellowship. All these various churches that are mentioned here. And the encouragement is for you to attend or join the church of your choice. I didn't do that. I didn't do any shopping. So if I didn't just look out there and say, well, I'm just going to pick this one, then how did I become a member of the Church of Christ? My first point is really simple. I chose Christ. I chose Christ and I chose His way of salvation. And when I chose His way of salvation, the Bible teaches that He added me to His church. It's really quite simple. My first decision was that I wanted Christ. I knew that without Christ, I had no hope whatsoever. I wanted Christ and I wanted salvation. And so, naturally, I chose His way of salvation. If He's the Savior, then I have to go His way. I have to choose Him and I have to choose His way of salvation. And really, it's as simple as looking at the five fingers or four fingers and one thumb that you have on your hand. The Bible teaches that a person must hear the gospel message, believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, repent of his sins, confess that he believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then be baptized to have all of his sins washed away. If you can look at your hand and see five fingers, then you can remember, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. In Acts chapter 2, isn't that what we have here in Acts chapter 2 when the very first people in the New Testament became Christians? Look at Acts 2 beginning in verse 22. Peter says, preaching this day, men of Israel, hear these words. Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death because it was not possible that he should be held by it. He continues on to teach them about Jesus, and in verse 36, he says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And it says, when they heard this, there's your hearing, they were cut to the heart, there's your believing. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And he said, "Repent," there's repentance, "and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified in exhorting them, saying, "Be saved. Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added. And the words "to them" are given by the translators. It just simply would say 3,000 souls were added. And so we had four of those things on the screen mentioned in Acts chapter 4. Don't worry about the other one because it's in other places. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says that with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch asked the question, "Here is water, what hinders me from being baptized?" And he was told by Philip, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said with his mouth, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And so there is Jesus' way of salvation. And that's what I chose. That's what I chose. I chose Christ. I needed Christ. And listen, every one of those things are very, very radical. There is the hearing about Jesus and what he did on the cross and all that he suffered there. There is believing, which, by the way, that's hard for some people. I'm thinking of a man who came forward and obeyed the gospel when I was in Fayetteville, Tennessee, who initially was an agnostic. Basically, he said that I can't say there is a God, I can't say there isn't a God. And he made that journey, and coming to believe was a tedious process. He had to give much study and thought and reason to it. It was a lot of work for him just to believe. But I never will forget taking him into the waters of baptism, and he said before that whole group, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And so that is radical. Believing in Jesus, being bold enough to confess that to the whole world, that he is the only way to be saved. And then, of course, repentance, which is going to cost you a lot. It's turning from that old way. And then being baptized, which is a total surrender of yourself. That old man is crucified, done away with, buried, and you raise that man to walk, or God raises him to walk in newness of life. We may say, here, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized quite simply. But let me tell you, that whole process is radical. That whole process will turn you inside out. And that's exactly what I did. I chose Christ. I chose his way of salvation, and he added me to his church. You might call all of that calling on the name of the Lord. It's interesting when you look at Acts 2, he said when he started preaching that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But when you get down to verse 40, they obviously haven't called on him yet because they're not saved. He continues to say to them, "Be saved," so they haven't called on the Lord yet. When did they call on the Lord? The next verse says, those who gladly received his word were baptized. Baptism is the precise moment when you call upon God to do the very thing that he promised he would do. In fact, in Acts 22 and verse 16, the apostle Paul was told, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And that's what I did. Now I want you to notice my next point. It was at the precise moment of baptism that Jesus added me. And notice I've underlined, he added me. You didn't have anything to do with that. At the precise moment that I was baptized, he added me to his church. Look at verse 47. As it continues to talk about the teaching that was done in the subsequent days, It says in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Do you see what the Lord was doing? The Lord was taking every person who was saved, and it says that He added them to the church. He added them to the church. He did the adding. Let me ask you this question. What church is that? What church did He add them to? You know, I have asked that question a million times to a lot of people. I've never had anybody to miss it. Not when they've studied a little bit. I've never had anybody to miss it when I come to verse 47 and point out that when they were saved, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And I say, what church was that? They'll say things like, well, it was His church. It was the Lord's church. It was the church of Christ. All of those things really saying the same thing, that the Lord added me when I was baptized to His church. And that's really what the Bible is teaching. In Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus talked about that church, and He really says a whole lot in one sentence. In Matthew 16 and verse 18, He said, I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, that is based on the statement that you just made that I'm the Christ, on this rock, I will build my church. Well, first of all, we see something. Jesus was going to be the builder of the church. And it would be His. He said, I will build mine. How many did He say He was going to build? Back to our join the church of your choice. How many choices do we have? He said, I will build my church. And so we see a whole lot in that statement. And by the way, He's not building with brick and mortar. This building is not the church of Christ. When He talks about building my church, He's talking about taking a person out of this world and putting him into his spiritual body. You build the church with people. That's what you do. Let me show you that a little bit further. What do we mean when we say His church? What is meant by His church? Well, again, you saw in verse 47, didn't you, in Acts chapter 2 there, that it says the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. All right, so if you look at the screen, I like to just say it's people. In the very simplest terms, if somebody said, well, what's the Lord's church? Well, it's people, but it's not just any people. It's saved people. And that's who the Lord adds to His church. Now, notice this. All of these people who are saved, regardless of when they lived, and regardless of where they lived, when they obeyed the gospel, the Lord pictures them as all gathered before Him. They're gathered in heavenly places. That language is used in Ephesians 1. Turn to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to read verse 19 and 20. It's beautiful here that in Ephesians chapter 1, he first of all talks about what God did for Jesus and the power that was there to raise Jesus from the dead. And so he says in Ephesians 1, verse 19 and 20, I want you to know what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand, where? In the heavenly places. Now, get that. When Christ was raised from the dead, God seated Him in heavenly places. That's where Jesus is. He's in heavenly places. Where am I? Look at Ephesians 2. Beautiful contrast. He says in verse 1 of Ephesians 2, and you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. He talks about in verse 2 and 3 how we lived according to the world. Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And He raised us up together. All of that's a reference to baptism. It harmonizes perfectly with Colossians 1. I was dead. I was buried. I was raised But notice where I sit, verse 6. It says, He raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. All right, brethren, make sure you've got it. Where does Christ sit? He sits in heavenly places. Where was I raised up from baptism to sit? In heavenly places. I want to use a picture I got off the internet. Can you picture that? Here Jesus is, if you will, in heavenly places. All these people here have obeyed His gospel. They have done what they had to do to be saved. And here they all are gathered together with Jesus. If you're trying to get a picture of the church, that's it. But now make that a whole lot larger now. We got 3,000 on Pentecost. And you got to add a whole bunch more since then. And some more that will yet. That thing, it's like it's got walls, if you will, that just keep on expanding. And the Lord just keeps adding all these people, all these saved people, to His church. That's what it is. Now, if you can look at that picture, then you can certainly understand what the Lord's church is. It's saved people gathered in heavenly places. And another thing I'll mention is they are called out. The word church in the New Testament is the Greek word ekklesia. And what that word means is it just simply means called out. Called out. Well, that's exactly what you have. All these people have been called by the gospel. Do you realize that that's what God is doing when He preaches through me? He's trying to call you. Every time I open my Bible and preach to you, God's trying to call to you with the gospel. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. He speaks of the salvation that's offered through Christ in verse 13. And then verse 14 he says, to which He called you. To which He called you by our gospel. For the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that verse says that we were called by the gospel. That's exactly what you had in Acts chapter 2. Do you remember it said that it's for as many as the Lord our God will call? And so the call was issued in Acts chapter 2. The people heard the call. They were pricked in their heart. They repented of their sins. And they were baptized for the remission of their sins. Now Grover Stevens used to say, when he would preach, he'd say, have you got that? If you've got that, he'd say, go like this right here. You got that? It's saved people. It's people who are gathered in heavenly places. It is those who are called out of the world and they're called into Jesus Christ. Now I want to go back to my picture. Now just think real simple with me. If you ask those people right there what church they're a part of, what would they say? I mean, you look at it and you think, well, there they are gathered around Christ. They're a church. And they're gathered all around Christ. If you ask them, what church are you a part of? What would they say? It can't be anything other than we are in His church. That's what the Bible teaches happens when you obey the gospel. He adds you to His church. Would these people say, well, I'm Presbyterian. I'm Episcopalian. I'm Lutheran. Do you picture those people saying that? That's not what those people would say. Let me show you another way of understanding this as well. To show you how and when we are added by the Lord to His church. The Bible teaches that when we are baptized into what the Bible calls the body of Christ. We're baptized into the body of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. It says in verse 13, for by one Spirit, in other words, by the teaching of the Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. The Holy Spirit taught us, we responded, By one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. And notice this, Paul included himself. He said, we. So Paul had done that too. But do you hear the language? If you'll stay with me, you'll really, some things will begin to click in your head here. We were all baptized into one body. Baptized into the body. Go to Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. Paul says in Galatians 3, verse 26, he says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now he explains how they became sons of God by faith. Verse 27, for as many of you as were baptized, listen to the wording, underline it in your Bible, as many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. My question would be, how did those people get into Christ? Well, it says it, didn't it? For as many of you as were baptized into Christ. So to be baptized into Christ and to be baptized into His body is the same thing. But there's an interesting thing also that we learn. What is the body? What is the body of Christ? That's crucial that you answer that question. Go to Ephesians 1 and we get our answer. In Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23. Ephesians 1, verse 22 says, speaking of the Father, that He put all things under His feet. In other words, everything has been put under Christ. And then it says, He gave Him to be head over all things to the church. Christ is the head over all things to the church, which is His body. Let that register a moment. What is the body of Christ? It's the church. He's the head over all things to the church, which is His body. And so there's a body of saved people that belong to the Lord. And He's head over that body. And so the body of Christ and the church of Christ are the same thing. Biblically, they're the same thing. How many churches does Christ have? Well, you can look at the screen and you can say, well, I don't see but one circle. And all those people that are baptized can keep getting into that ever-largening circle. It looks like to me there's one. Well, let's look at what the Bible says. Look at Ephesians 4 and verse 4. Having just said that the body and the church are the same thing, he then says in Ephesians 4, 4, there is one body. There's one body. All right, are you listening? Here's my question. If there's one body, and the body is the church, then how many churches are there? I think we all understand that. I think that's reflected. We saw that even in the picture that we saw. It's just one body of people gathered around the Lord who've all done the same thing. That's exactly what you have when it comes to the Lord's church. I heard a fellow preach a sermon, or knew of a fellow that preached a sermon one time, and he was doing Ephesians 4. There's one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. He said, can you count to one? And really, it's that simple. If you can count to one, then it's just that easy to understand how many churches Christ has. How many bodies does He have? I think we all understand He's just got one body. And this is where salvation is, right? When we're baptized into the body, so that's where salvation is. People sometimes ask me, do I have to be in the church to be saved? Well, if you're saved, you're going to be in the church. Ephesians 5, look at it, verse 23. This shows who the Lord's going to save. If you want to know who the Lord's going to save, Ephesians 5, 23 says it. It says, the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He's the head of the church, and He's the Savior of the body. Again, the two words were used together. He's the Savior. He's the head of the church, and He's the Savior of the body. But who does He save? He saves those who are in the body. And that's what He added those people to. on the day of Pentecost. All right, so are you understanding my answer? Are you understanding my answer as to why I am a member of the Church of Christ? Let me go quite simply again. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because Christ added me to His church when I believed and was baptized. And listen, it was automatic. The Lord just did it. He's saved, I'm adding Him to my church. It's automatic. It's not like you pick it. I picked Jesus, and because I picked Jesus, I got His church. I was added to all the rest of the people. It's automatic. So I chose His plan of salvation, and He added me to it. Here's my question. Wouldn't He do the same for you? If that's what He did for all those people on Pentecost, and that's what He did for me, and that's what He did for Tyler Tibbs last Thursday night, wouldn't He do the same thing for you today? If you chose Christ and chose His way of salvation, wouldn't He add you to His church? Wouldn't He do that? Why, sure. Exactly. That's exactly what the Lord would do. That's what He would do. Now let me point something else out that I think is very, very important to understand. The church of Christ is not denominated. The church of Christ is not denominated. And here's what I mean by that. It's not like these people right here now, these over here, now they're Methodist. And these right here, now they're Presbyterians. And these people right here, now they're Lutherans. Do you believe that's the Bible picture? I think we know that's not right. There's no such thing in the Bible as what I call a hyphenated Christian. This person says, I'm a Methodist Christian. This person says, I'm a Presbyterian Christian. This person says, I'm a Lutheran Christian. No. Acts 11 and verse 26 says that at Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. You didn't call them a Methodist Christian. They didn't know anything about that. All they knew is that Jesus wanted to save them, and when He saves me, He adds me to His church. That's what they knew. So can you see that? Is that easy to understand? Here's my question. This might be the million-dollar question of the morning. If all of these people aren't doing anything but just following the same Lord, then how did they end up like that? If they're all doing what He says, how did one bunch become Lutherans and another bunch become Presbyterians and another bunch become Methodists? How did that happen? It didn't happen. If we become some of this right here, we become something the Bible never talks about. I'm not saying that to hurt your feelings. I'm just standing on 2 feet preaching the truth about what the Bible says. My hope is that you'll love the truth and see the truth and accept the truth about that. How can all those people serve the same Lord and then group off? It doesn't happen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he seems to kind of hit the idea here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Beginning in verse 10, he says, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. That's important. And that there be no divisions among you, and that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it's been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that each of you says, I am of Paul. So here's some people who are saying, I'm a Paulite, if you will. Another says, I am of Apollos. I'm an Apollosite. Or I am of Cephas, or Peter, I'm a Cephasite. That's what they were saying. I'm of Paul, he's my man. I'm of Apollos, he's my man. And then he says, and some would say, I am of Christ. I am of Christ. You know, verse 13 is a crucial question. Look at it with me. Is Christ divided? Will you answer that with me? Is Christ divided? No. Was Paul crucified for you? No. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. So why are you dividing up and saying, I am of Paul? But if a person says, I am of Christ, two things are going to be true. He was crucified for me, and I was baptized in the name of Christ. If you have not done those two things, if those two things are not true of you, then you're not yet saved. Was Jesus crucified for you? Yes. Have you been baptized in the name of Christ? Have you done it the way the Bible talks about? When that happens, we can say, I am of Christ. I think we all understand it is not like that. It is like that. It's like that. That's the idea. Now, in the little bit of time that I have left, I want to talk about why I became a member of the Church of Christ at Oakland. Talk about local churches. When we talk about local churches in the Bible, we're talking about a group of churches in a given locality. All these people are simply Christians, and they worship together in a given locality. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, he writes to the church at Corinth and he says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth. And by the way, Jesus is referred to as God, shepherd, the church of God, which he purchased with his blood. And so the church of God and the church of Christ is the same thing in the Bible. There's no difference. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. And so, he refers to the church of God at Corinth. Saints. These are Christians who obeyed the gospel, and they are now gathering together in Corinth to worship the Lord. There was one in Ephesus. There was one in Colossae. There was one in Rome. Interestingly enough, though, turn to Romans 16 and verse 16. And I'm not trying to monopolize on the name, but it is interesting that Paul, when he writes to the church at Corinth, he sends greetings from these other churches. And in Romans 16 and verse 16, he says this, greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. And so what are these? What are these local groups? That's the church of Christ. That's a local church of Christ. This is a local church of Christ. And the churches of Christ send their greetings to you. Well, if all of them collectively are called churches of Christ, what would you call one? It'd simply be church of Christ. Of course, that's not the only designation the Bible gives. It does talk about church of God, church of the Thessalonians in God and Christ. There's a number of scriptural designations, but the main thing we're trying to emphasize is that this church belongs to the Lord. And every saved person is added to that church. And that's what you have. And I mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17 that Paul said concerning his preaching, he says, as I teach everywhere in every church. Let me go back to my thing here. What would Paul do if he went to the Methodist church? Would he have to teach Methodist doctrine? If he went to the Lutheran church, would he have to teach Lutheran doctrine? In fact, I got a friend one time that went to a fella, and he was a preacher in the Methodist church. And he told him after church, because he's trying to find what's right, he said, I've been reading my Bible, and it looks like to me that you have to be baptized to be saved. And he said, well, he said, that's what I believe too. He said, I've been reading my Bible, and I believe that's what the Bible teaches. He said, but you don't teach that. He said, no. He said, I'm a Methodist preacher, and I get paid to preach Methodist doctrine, so that's what I do. And my friend said, well, I don't know if I'd want to go anywhere where a man won't preach what he believes. He said, well, you don't have to go here if you want to. You can go somewhere else. And he said, well, I think I will. I think I will go somewhere else. Don't we understand that Paul said, I teach everywhere in every church. These are the things that I teach everywhere in every church. He didn't teach different things according to various doctrines. He just taught the will of the Lord. And that's what I try to do every Sunday right here, is just teach what the Bible teaches. So why did I become a member of the church at Oakland? Here's the first thing you need to know. You should know that the Lord did not add me to the church at Oakland. He added me to the larger body. When I became a Christian, He didn't add me to Oakland. When I was 12 years old, He did not add me to Oakland. He added me to that larger body that's referred to as the church. That's what He did. That's the first thing you need to know. But then I later joined myself to the Oakland church. I expressed my desire to be a part of this group, and I was taken in. I'd like to suggest to you the life of Paul demonstrates these two things right quick. First of all, you understand that initially Saul wasn't a Christian. He's traveling. He meets the Lord on the road to Damascus. He's shot down by a bright light. He is told to go into the city, and there you will be told what you must do. In Acts 22 and verse 16, when he got there, Ananias came to him and said to him in Acts 22, 16, "Now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Now let me ask you something. When Paul was baptized, and he was, because he said in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, we're all baptized into one body. When Paul was baptized, what church was he added to? He was added by the Lord to His church. And so if Paul was speaking to us today, he would say, first of all, you need to know that the Lord did not add me to the church at Jerusalem. He added me to that larger body, the church. But Paul would go on to say that there came a day when I joined myself to the Jerusalem church. I expressed a desire to be with them, and I was taken in. Go to Acts 9. This is crucial. Acts 9, you got to see this. Acts 9, beginning in verse 26. Paul's already a Christian. He's already been added by the Lord to his church. But in verse 26, it says that Saul had come to Jerusalem and he tried to join the disciples. He wants to be a part of them. But they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. They don't even believe he is a disciple. Verse 27 says, "Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, how he had spoken to him, and how he's now preaching boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And when they heard that, they knew he was a Christian and they took him in." Verse 28 says, "So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out." He just came in, went out. He's doing what everybody else is doing. He's coming in, going out. He's a part of them. But do you see the difference? Jesus did not add Paul to the Jerusalem church. But it was the Lord's will that he join himself to a local church. It's the Lord's will for you to join yourself to a local church. He doesn't want you floating around out here. He wants you to join with a local group of disciples who have obeyed the gospel. He wants that. And so Paul would say the same thing. That's important to see. And so, here's what you have as we come close to finishing. I was baptized in Union Springs, Alabama. That's where I was baptized. And the day I did that, the Lord added me to His church. I became a member of the Church of Christ that day. Shortly thereafter, I joined myself to the church in Union Springs. I said, I want to work with you people. When I went to college, I was no longer in Union Springs. I found a group of disciples in Brundage, Alabama, and I worshiped with them. And again, those are not denominations. Those are local churches practicing what the Bible teaches. They're not claiming different things and preaching different doctrines. And then this, I did not join a denomination. Nobody in the Bible ever did. I did not do that. And I will not do that. The teachings of denominations don't match the Bible in many respects. Likewise, I will say this, and I won't have a lot of time to go into it, but there are some local churches of Christ, that I would not join. What I mean is there are some places out there that have Church of Christ on the sign, but they practice some things that I do not believe come from the head of the church. Now, I believe I can go there and be with them for a while and try to teach them. I believe I can go in there and try to change things. But if I can't change things, I got to do something else. And so there are some churches of Christ. Do you understand that I have no interest in a bunch of groups out there called churches of Christ? I have no interest in that. But I do have interest in local groups that are truly churches of Christ. I have interest in that. And so there's some local churches I wouldn't join because they do not hold fast to the head and his authority in Colossians chapter 2. And then this last point. I have now joined myself to the Oakland Church of Christ. When I moved to Athens, that's what I did. And the reason I joined up with this group is because I believe this local church teaches and does what I can read about in my Bible. But I want to give you one more sobering point, lest you are taking comfort in your name being on some local Church of Christ roll. An important point is this: keeping my name on the Oakland Church roll does not mean that I am automatically kept on the roll of those in the body of Christ. Christ keeps that roll. Christ doesn't keep the roll of the Oakland Church. He keeps the roll of all those in His body. And the Bible says that not only can He write your name down on that roll, He can take it out quickly. Revelation 3 and verse 4 and 5. In Revelation 3, verse 4 and 5, He says, "You have a few names even in Sardis who have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." That's where I get the idea that I think I could be a part of a group for a little while trying to change them. Because here was a church that wasn't doing some things right, but He says, "You got a few there who haven't yet defiled their garments. They're faithful to me." Verse 5, "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life." What's the implication? If you don't overcome, I'll blot your name out. So the Lord can write your name on His roll. He can take your name off the roll. But that roll is called the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you understand that? Now I know on our picture board back there, we have pictures of, if you come here, then your picture is likely on that board. That board doesn't try to say that these are all members of the Oakland Church that are on this board. But let's just say it was for that. Let's just say that your name couldn't be on that board unless you were a member of right here. Is that where you first want your name to be? Is that your first concern? "Well, I got my name on, my picture's on the board. Thank you." No. That board out there has nothing to do with whether you're going to be saved eternally. It has nothing to do with whether your name is in the book of life. It has nothing to do with that. But there are people out there on that board who became members of the Lord's church when they obeyed the gospel. And they have identified with this group to work in worship with it. And so my chief concern is to make sure my name is on the Lord's roster, the book of life, as I also seek to remain faithful in a local church belonging to Him. Well, let me size it up one more time. I chose Christ. I chose His way of salvation. He wrote my name in the book of life. He added me to His body, the church. And I later joined myself to a local church that seeks to hold fast to Christ in all things. You know what I want you to do today? If you understand these things, I want you, if you're not a Christian today, to first of all decide, I want to be in the Lord's church. I don't care anything about Oakland. I first want you to make sure your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we'll take you and we'll baptize you today for the remission of your sins. And the Lord will add you at that moment to His church. And then we might ask you, do you want to be a member of the church at Oakland? You might say, no, I live in Florence. I can't be a member here with this group. Well, I might say, well, I know a band of disciples over there that are practicing the truth. And you might go over there and join maybe where Kenny Moore is. You see, you join yourself to a local group. But my first desire today is for you to be in the body of Christ. If you've understood what I've said today, would you come today? Maybe there's something that you, even though I think it's so simple, it may be that there's something that you didn't quite understand and you've got a question. Ask me. Ask me. There's no bad question. I want you to understand what the Bible teaches on this. If you're here today and you want to be a member of the body of Jesus Christ that He died to save, would you come while we stand and as we sing?